Well, let me begin by welcoming everyone we have this morning. We do have visitors. I know that for a fact, and we're glad you're here. I hope you'll want to come back and be with us many times in the future. Please, as was suggested earlier, Bill suggested, please do locate a visitor's card and fill that out for us. We appreciate that. But if you have any questions or any observations about anything we do, I'd love for you to come to us with that. We're glad you're here. I am reminded this morning, though on a serious note, how quickly things can change. I left the house just a little bit earlier. My sister-in-law Lee had called yesterday and told us Aunt Jenny was not doing too well. And then, of course, unfortunately, she passed away this morning. And condolences to my beautiful wife in behalf of the loss of her aunt. That was her mother's sister-in-law, and she's one of the last ones that still remains. But anyway, please do keep the family in your prayers, and we appreciate that. This morning, we are going to begin to talk about something that I'm going to look at in some respects throughout the remainder of the first quarter, although there are going to be different ideas associated with it. This is sort of a secondary introduction. Last week I introduced the theme for the year, and this is really going to serve as a major introduction to the theme or the emphasis for this quarter. And that is the idea of fulfilling my purpose in the church. You'll notice how I've entitled the lesson Talents, Abilities, Roles. I'll differentiate between those terms later in the quarter, but not so much this morning. We'll lump them together. As from the passage that Chris read for us a moment, God will go on to say in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, and I'll emphasize this quite a bit during the quarter, that God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. And we're going to talk about what that means, the ramifications of that. Let's begin by making a couple of observations, one that we made last year frequently. We observed that the bulk of the contribution, whether we're talking about finances or work or whatever it might be, the bulk of a contribution to any organization generally comes from a minority of its members. Remember, each time I talked about the member in the mirror, I put up this and talked about the 80-20 principle. That is, that generally speaking, 80% of the work, 80% of the finances, et cetera, comes from about 20% of the people. Now, that's not always true in the Lord's church, and it certainly is not what God designed. It's not the Lord's plan. It just, unfortunately, is the case, whether we're talking about a church or a civic organization, a business, a workforce, or whatever it may be, that just seems to be where people settle. But we don't want to settle for that. We don't want that to be the case. We certainly don't want it to be the case here at East Orange, because again, that's not the Lord's plan. Remember, we emphasized last year in a couple of verses that I will, especially later in the quarter, talk about, and I'll talk about them more specifically. But you see phrases like this. When the description of the church is given in Ephesians 4, Paul speaks of that which every joint supplies, or the effectual working of every part, if there is to be edification. Again, in a similar passage, parallel to it in Colossians 2, all the body is nourished and knit, or tied together, joined together by joints and ligaments. And how important each individual one of those is. So we are led then, we might ask this question, what is my purpose in the Lord's church? And I might even make that more specific as I'm looking at myself as a member here. What is my purpose here? Why am I here? Why has God set me in this place? What am I doing here? Now for me, or for Wes, perhaps that's very easy to answer. I came here to preach the gospel. I know why I'm here. But that's not all I do in this place. That's my work, my occupation that I do. But beyond that, there are many things that I am to do as a member of this church. And so it is with you. So what do I bring to the table. I talked a little bit about this phrase downstairs this morning, and I said that perhaps the etymology of this phrase, although I don't think anyone's really sure, but perhaps the etymology was the idea of a big feast where a large family or a large group of people would gather together and everyone would bring something. And because they did that, I mean, we just went through Thanksgiving, so we all understand that. A lot of us had big family gatherings even at Thanksgiving time. But you know, the idea of everybody bringing something to the table, and by that, then you have an abundance. You have a lot of choices, a lot of good food, and everybody really can enjoy that. And you think of the stark contrast between that picture and perhaps maybe back to when, and I can easily remember back to when I was a bachelor, all alone, and faced every day, every meal with, are you going to cook something just for you? Are you just going to run down to McDonald's or whatever and grab something? But the stark contrast between those two ideas. We'll parallel that to the Lord's church. If you have a group of people where one person is trying to do everything, compare the abundance that would be in that place to a church where everybody is bringing something to the table. We're all joining together and functioning as I believe the Lord meant for us to do. Every Christian, go with me to 1 Corinthians 12, and this is a passage we'll emphasize together with some others. I'm not going to look at everything in it this morning. But every Christian is a vital part of the congregation in which he or she is a member. I think you see that in 1 Corinthians 12. We all know the analogy that's given here. Notice, for example, verse 14 where Chris concluded, the body is not one member, but many. And then he begins to differentiate between body parts. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. And then he begins to explore that idea of different body parts with different abilities, obviously. My foot can do what my hand cannot. I've never been able to walk on my hands. Some of you probably can. But my foot can do what my hands cannot. My eyes can do what my ears cannot, etc., etc. Every Christian is a vital part of the congregation. The truth is, we could go across this room and ask and question every person here, and the truth would be, there would be some abilities that I have, that you also have, but honestly, we would all have a different set of abilities. And some of us would be better at some things and not so good at some things. The worst at something. The best at something. That's the nature of a group of human beings, and God knew that when He brought us together. We have to see ourselves as me individually, you individually. You have to see yourself as an important part of the whole. My foot is important. I got to tell you, my little toe on my left foot is important. I don't want to lose it. Every ligament in my body is important. I just strained a ligament or whatever, sprained one, whatever the term is for it, a couple of months ago. It's important. It affects every part of you. Everything is vital. It's a necessary member of the body. And so Paul discusses that here. We'll look at that further. But let's talk a little bit about being a member of the church for a moment. Let's go back all the way to the basics. I am a member of the church by virtue of the fact that I was baptized into Christ. Now, I'm not going to turn to all of these passages, but you might want to refer to these. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, there were 3,000 souls who were baptized, and if you notice, they were added to the church at Jerusalem when they were baptized. Verse 47, the Lord was doing that on a daily basis as they were being saved. In Galatians chapter 3, we are baptized into Christ. So we know that when we're baptized, when someone comes forward and they go into the water back here, a number of things happen if they're truly obeying the gospel. Their sins are being washed away, they're being identified with Christ, etc., etc. But one of the things that is happening, if you're open to 1 Corinthians 12, look at verse 13. We don't see this, but faith, the Word of God, tells us this. For by one Spirit, and He certainly in context is talking about the Holy Spirit. You can easily see that. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. I became became a member of the Lord's church, you, if you've been baptized, became a member of the Lord's church when you were baptized. And when you were, the Holy Spirit Himself, by an act of God, put you into the body of Christ, forever to be identified with the Lord's church. I am a member of the body of Christ by virtue of choice as well when we speak of a local church. If you go with me to Acts chapter 9, and let's just do that quickly. Paul was baptized. We can see that earlier in verse 19. Paul has just been baptized, and really I should have put 18 there. But Paul is baptized, and immediately Paul goes out into the Arabian desert. He's not a member of a local church for a while there. Galatians 1 discusses all of that. But he does come back. And beginning in verse 19, Paul joins himself, joins the church, places membership. Those are all terms we use to say that Paul became a member of the local church at Damascus. And then if you look later in this, and go down with me to verse 26. Because of circumstances of persecution, a threat to his life, Paul left Damascus in Syria and went to Jerusalem down, of course, in Judea. Look at verse 26. When Paul, or Saul, was come to Jerusalem, notice the phrase, he assayed to join himself. Now, there are different translations for that, but the word itself, and all of them mean, is he made a decision. He made a choice. He looked at the church at Jerusalem. He decided he would be a member at Jerusalem. He wanted to, notice, join himself. When we talk about joining the church, that's not altogether a non-biblical statement. It can be, depending on how you use it. But when we speak of joining a local congregation, we make a choice to do that. Again, you can see in verse 28, when he does become a member there, it just simply is described as he was, quote, with them, coming in and going out. He's part of them, is the idea. Now, that's what happens when you become a member of a local church. You place your membership. You either come forward during the invitation, a lot of people do that, say, I want to place membership here at East Orange. You pass a note or you tell the preacher, and that happens a lot. A lot of you have done that. You said, Michael, let everybody know I want to be a member here at East Orange. And we join ourselves to a group of people. We identify with that local group. We are now part of them. We're with them, coming in and going out and doing the things that we do as a local church. But go back with me to 1 Corinthians 12. There's something else we should understand. And this is something we're really going to emphasize this quarter. Why am I here? Why am I a member of East Orange? Well, circumstances have brought me here. You know, I'm a member here at East Orange through a number of choices and circumstances, and all of that together has been used by God to put me where He wants me. Now, I believe that, and I believe God has the ability to do that. Read with me a couple of phrases. Look at 1 Corinthians 12 down in verse 18. But now, as he says to these members at Corinth, but now has God set the members, literally placed them. The idea of like setting something on the table. I set the cup on the table. Well, God placed members of the church together. He has set the members, every one of them, in the body. Notice the phrase, as it has pleased Him. God is like the great orchestrator in heaven. I want that one over here. I need that one over here. It's kind of like when Paul was out doing his work. And really, if you study the chronology and the parallel chronologies in the New Testament, long story short, you realize that while Paul is being directed across the bottom half of Turkey to preach, Peter is being directed across the top half of Turkey. And they don't necessarily know that of each other. And you can see in Luke 6, or in Acts 16, where Luke talks about, you know, Paul just thought he'd go here. Holy Spirit, no, I don't want you there. Well, I now go here. No, I don't want you there. And then the vision comes, come over to Macedonia. Oh, okay, so that's where I'm supposed to go. Now, it doesn't happen like that today. But circumstances move us. We make choices. We make decisions. And God uses all of that.
God brings us together. Notice a beautiful statement down in verse 24. Our comely parts have no need. We'll talk some about that. But notice, God has tempered the body together. That is a word that comes from blacksmithing. And it's the idea of a blacksmith who would forge a sword. And if you know, for example, if you're familiar with the making of a katana, a Japanese samurai sword, probably the best swords that have ever been made. It was a long, drawn-out process where thin strips of steel were melded together, put together, tempered is the word. And layer after layer after layer after layer until that sword, because of the sum of the parts of every piece of steel, was incredibly strong and sharp and able. God does that with us. God orchestrates and brings together the pieces that will make the one body. And if you're here and you're a member, you're one of those pieces. Take that piece away, or let that piece be, you know, less than what it should be, it weakens the whole group. But when every piece is tempered together and doing what it's supposed to do, being what it should be, then the strength is incredible. And that's what God is saying in this passage. That's why we're members of the church. Many members, one body. Let's make one other observation. Going back to the idea of talents and abilities and roles. I'm not going through these passages this morning. These are three of the major passages I'm going to emphasize over the course of this quarter. In Romans 12, I'm going to mention. In Romans 12, oddly enough, a very similar phrase. One body, many members. Members in particular. But what you see in that passage is the work of individuals. What you see in that passage are, in many respects, simple, everyday things. So sometimes when a person says, well, I can't do anything, what they're thinking is, I can't lead singing like Greg did. I can't preach like Michael did. I can't wait on the table like Wes did. I can't lead a prayer like Bill did. So I can't do anything. You don't see those things in Romans 12. You see, in many respects, simple, everyday things. And sometimes people are very gifted in those areas. It might be the giving you can do. Might be the hospitality or whatever. But if you have the ability, and whatever level of ability you have, when you use it for God, it becomes a wondrous thing. 1 Corinthians 12. You might be a foot. You might be the nose. You might be an eye. And whatever those things mean. God doesn't even specify in that passage. He just says you are whatever you are. But the body needs you. When you look at your various body parts, there's not a one of them we want to give up. And there's not a one of them we would say, well, we don't need that. I assure you, I've used this illustration many times. Bunny's mother just had gallbladder surgery. When I had severe gallbladder attacks and had to have mine removed when I was in my 20s, I have to admit I hardly ever thought about it. I have not ceased to think about my missing gallbladder in the last 30 years. You realize how much you need those parts you never really thought about, especially when you lose them. When you look at Ephesians 4, we're all gifted. And we're gifted to be something. A person might say, well, God didn't choose me to be an apostle. Yeah, He only chose 13 of those. But He's chosen me to be a ligament. Be a joint. He's chosen me to be a teacher, perhaps to be a preacher, perhaps to be an elder, whatever that is, but I've got a role to fill. I've got a place. And if all of us use what we've got, the body can be built up. If we don't, the body won't be built. You think about the building of a house, and I'll come back to this illustration, but just think about it briefly. All the people that gather together to build a house. Suppose one guy with one simple, seemingly mundane job didn't do his job. How much of the house could really be built? Think about that. We'll look at that passage. In fact, let's go back to the idea. God has set the members, each one of them, me. And let's think that way. Me in the body as it has pleased Him. Again, God has tempered the body. Many members, one body, tempered the body together. Each Christian brings his individual talents or ability. I want you to go with me briefly to Matthew chapter 25. Now, this is a passage I'm going to really look at all through the quarter. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells a parable about the kingdom, the Lord's church. And this is what he says about the kingdom, verse 14. That it is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now, when you think about that, I don't think it's a stretch to say Jesus is the man traveling into a far country. This is the night of the betrayal. He's about to die on the cross. He is going in some 43 days to ascend into heaven. And it is going to be left to his servants. That, again, I don't think it's a stretch to say are Christians. It's going to be left to them to take care of what belongs to him. Now, we ask the question, what belongs to him? I think we began to look at the church. We began to look at the members of the church. We began to look at people outside the Lord's church who need to be taught the gospel. Those people who will respond when others influence them to do so. And we would say all of that belongs to Jesus. In fact, we could say everything does. It becomes our responsibility. First, I might say that's a daunting task to put all of that on me. He doesn't. He puts it on us. And that's the point. Look at verse 15 when he says, unto one he gave 5 talents. A talent was a piece of money. And I believe in this parable, it is opportunity. That what he is saying is that we have the ability to do something and we are given the opportunity to do it. And we're given the opportunity in the setting of the kingdom, the body of Christ. Notice the parable. To one individual in the kingdom, he gave 5 talents. To another 2, to another 1. To each one, or every man, according to his individual or several ability. And straightway, he took his journey. Now, you know what follows there, and I'm not going to read all of that. I will come back and look at it and look at some points within it. But what happens is, on Judgment Day, he calls each member before him and he calls them into question as to what they did with their opportunities based on their ability. If you had a lot of opportunity, 5 talents, and you had a lot of ability, and that's why you were given all those opportunities, did you use them? Did you take advantage of them? If you just had one single opportunity, because you had very limited ability, you're still expected to use it. And did you? And that's the story. So God gives us these opportunities, gives us these abilities, and He expects us to use them. Again, go back to what we were saying earlier. To everyone according to his individual ability. That which every joint supplies. All the body nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments. Person might say, you know, the eye, the ear, they're glorified organs. They're vital organs. They're the kind of organs that children talk about as little kids. You know, what's more important, your eyes or your ears? We played that morbid game, you know. But I never remember us playing that game and saying, what's more important, you know? The muscle in the back of your thigh? Or the ligament that helps your shoulder move. Now, I've had trouble with both of those, and I can tell you they're vital. Yeah, I've had pain all over. It's a terrible thing. But they're vital. And whatever I am, glorified or not, is the way I see it, you know, as a human being, I'm important. And I need to use it. So we might summarize by saying this. Whether I was meant to be an eye, an ear, a hand, or a foot. Whether I was meant to be an elder, a preacher, a teacher. Whether I have a lot of ability to give, to love, to be hospitable. those different passages we'll look at. As God has equipped me to be, and the opportunities arise, I am to fulfill my purpose in this congregation. This is my congregation. This is my church, my local church. And I have a place here. I have abilities. I have the ability to fulfill roles. I have talents that I can bring to the table, and God expects me to do that. When everyone, each one, does what he or she can do and what they're supposed to do, a church can accomplish everything God meant it to accomplish. When each one does not, a church accomplishes less and less and less and less. And it falls back, not so many times, just to the one or two people that people, the 20%, if you will, that people see with all the ability, et cetera, all the responsibility. A church does so much less because of each one who fails to do what they can and what they should. I need to fulfill my purpose in the church. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, that's where it begins. To be baptized into Christ, to allow the Holy Spirit to place you in the body of Christ so you can become a vital member of the body of Christ. If you place your membership here at this place, so you can be an important part of this whole at East Orange. It starts by your confession that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. Your acknowledgement, your willingness to change everything in your life, to do what's right, to not do what's wrong. And of your decision to be baptized. Baptized into Jesus Christ, to have your sins washed away. Now maybe you've done all of that, and maybe you look at your life and you say, you know, I'm in the body of Christ, but I haven't been making the contribution I need to make. And I want to ask for prayers that I do a better job of that. That I give my talents, because I and the Lord know what I can do. And so that I give that. If you need to come, please come. I'll stand and sing.